Do you have an action, Jeff?
Leashes and handle horseshoe crabs.
Okay, leash.
This is a request for public hearing for horseshoe crabs, something Mr. Rod was just mentioned. I'm going to start with some background. There are basically three levels of harvest allowed for horseshoe crabs in Virginia. The highest is the horseshoe crab endorsement license. That allows someone to land up to 5,000 horseshoe crabs per day. They are required to call in their daily harvest within 24 hours of landing, and there are 20 permittees for that. The next level is the restricted horseshoe crab endorsement license, and those harvesters may land up to 2,000 crabs per day. They're restricted to their crab dredge gear only. They're also required to call in daily, and there's 15 permittees. The third tier is actually eligible for any commercial waterman. May land up to 500 horseshoe crabs per day without any other type of license. So anyone can actually land that 500 crab bycatch. Now, when the quota has reached 85% of the annual quota, we've harvested that much, the landing limits for the horseshoe crab endorsement license and the restricted horseshoe crab endorsement licenses are reduced to 2,500 pounds and 1,000 crabs per day. Sorry, not pounds, crabs per day. Okay, so for 2009, on August 17th, the horseshoe crab fishery in Virginia was closed. We had met our quota of 152,495 horseshoe crabs. After all the reports are in, we realized that there was an overage. The quota was exceeded by about 10% for 2009. That overage will have to be paid back in 2010. The stopgaps that are actually built into the regulation were ineffective due to lack of reporting from harvesters. Basically, by the time so much data came in at once, because we were relying on the monthly harvest reports, that we weren't able to trigger that 85% rule. By the time we were there, we were already over. Very few of the endorsement license holders complied with that call-in requirement. And that's actually the requirement that allows us to monitor that quota sort of in that intermonthly time, that day-to-day time. And it's a relatively small quota when you consider some individuals can bring in 5,000 crabs a day, and we only have just over 150,000. So that's actually what we usually count on to monitor during the month. And as you can see at the table, that's the second line there, the endorsement license holders who did not call in, accounted for over 60,000 of the crabs that were in our quota this year. Because we didn't have this call-in, we had to rely on the monthly buyer's report and the mandatory harvest reporting forms. While those did come in, they only come in by the 5th of the following month. So that's why we didn't get that data in a timely manner, because while we had those, we had to rely on them sort of at the end of the month. Out of a total of 25 total harvesters that we have evidence for that harvested horseshoe crabs in Virginia during the season, 17 were non-compliant. They had reporting issues of some kind. And staff is planning, as Joe just mentioned, compliance hearings for the 17 individuals. So we've put together a few changes in order to avoid this happening in the future, things to tighten up the restrictions. The first would be to reduce the landing limit triggers for the endorsement licenses holders from 85% to 50%. So that would get triggered a lot quicker in the season, which would lower their landing limit. The second is to establish a horseshoe crab bycatch permit. And this is to tackle the issue of having so many people who can potentially land horseshoe crabs at one time. This allows us to identify those individuals and to contact them, because that was a problem this year when we had to close. We had no way of knowing exactly everyone who was harvesting in order to contact everyone. Also, daily call-in for buyer's report. Currently, buyers are only required to call in daily once that 85% of the quota has been reached. And as we said, that wasn't able to be triggered this year. Buyer reports have generally been the most reliable reporting, at least it was for 2009, and that would give us improved intermonthly reporting and a way to sort of double check on the call-ins that we do get on the 1-800 line. So staff recommends advertising for a December public hearing for the above measures in addition to paying back the 2010 overages.
Anything else? Comments? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a licensed dealer, I'm not going to vote on this matter, but I would like to participate in the discussion. I was involved in the development of a Denim 4 that includes some of the measures that Alicia referred to. This is a situation that, just to take a step back, there are several different fisheries that constitute the horseshoe crab fishery. And so there's essentially a bycatch fishery that occurs inside the Chesapeake Bay and some up on the eastern shore. That's all west of the coal regs. That's a pretty stable fishery. It used to be that we had crabs that were caught as bycatch in the blue crab dredge fishery. They're also caught in gill nets. They're caught in pound nets. Now, a decade ago, 15 years ago, the reporting of that catch was perhaps not what it could have been. And so we've taken steps by requiring mandatory dealer reporting to try to really capture that data better, and I think that's been done. So now, for the last couple of years, we've had, I think, a much more accurate characterization of that bycatch catch that occurred west of the coal regs. That catch itself is not nearly as sensitive in the broader economy of this fishery as the fishery that occurs east of the coal regs, because some of those crabs we know interact with the crabs in the Delaware Bay, and obviously there are ecological concerns up there. And because of that, the ASMFC has required that we limit our interaction with that stock. And so we limit our catch to 40% of the quota east of the coal reg. Now, there's also a directed hand harvest fishery that occurs largely up on the eastern shore in the Thomas Cove area. That fishery, I think, is maybe somewhat stable. But where you have a chance of really having a sudden spike in effort is with these directed dredge permits. So those would be your, HCELs or RHCEL permits. And because of that, and recognizing that risk, we do have this daily call-in requirement. But the basic problem is you had a handful of fishermen that kind of rushed into the fishery this year that didn't participate in the daily call-in requirement. They simply failed to report their catch. And so what's happened is a handful of people that were operating in violation of the reporting requirements have basically blown through the quota and basically doubled the east of the coal regs quota in 1 year. And, frankly, as I look through these potential measures, I think, we have a question of management control that we have to address. And so the most sensitive of those, I think, is what's being caught east of the coal reg. So I would suggest if you're going to have a trigger, that you also have a trigger for that component of the quota that's east of the coal rigs, because that's really one of our most sensitive concerns. And right now, I think it's just generally at 85% of the whole quota. But maybe you need to put those. I would suggest that you have an option in here that would tie those triggers that you're proposing to the portion of the quota that's east of the coal rigs, because that's really where much of the concern is. Additionally, if you were to simply sanction the individuals that didn't participate or that didn't call in as required, I mean, they basically already caught next year's quota. They caught this year's quota. They caught next year's quota. And if you don't allow them to participate in the fishery next year, I think that's probably an appropriate payback type consideration. And the other aspect, I think one of the dealers that participated in this operation was not a licensed dealer. So requiring a daily call-in requirement from the dealer might not have solved that problem if the dealer didn't have a license to begin with. And so I guess I would be concerned about trying to improve the management control over that portion that's east of the coal regs line as a specific concern. And I would suggest that you include an option for that. And maybe a broader range of requirements. I mean, if we had had daily buyer reports this year, and we still had non-compliance, and non-compliance was the basic problem, I don't know that going from monthly to daily reporting really would have stopped the problem. So maybe a range of requirements there. Right now we report monthly. Maybe we could consider twice a month to improve management control as another option. But again, I think the real problem revolved around a handful of people that just didn't comply with that daily call-in requirement that was designed to give you the management control. But I think there do need to be consequences for not participating in that reporting requirement. You see exactly what the implications of it are. I mean, we've gone well over the quota. And, as a result, the people that participated in that bycatch fishery inside the Chesapeake Bay had to start throwing back their catch and weren't able to sell it. So it had a very disruptive effect on the others in the fishery. And I think we need to put a little bit of a fence around that eastern fishery so that it doesn't spill over and affect the guys that are participating in what's a relatively well-behaved bycatch fishery.
Any other comments? And we would need to set a public hearing at our next meeting based on those recommendations. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved.
Second. Tomczyk. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstain.
Thank you.